Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We'll begin there, and we're going to look at some other verses if we have the opportunity and time today. 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter. Got it? All right, let's begin. Let's just start with verse 1. The Apostle Paul said, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house made with hands eternal in the heavens." He's talking about our body, our earthly tabernacle, that if it was dissolved, if it died, we have a building, another building waiting on us. Hallelujah. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, so that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now what he's saying is we're not groaning to die. We're not just wanting to lose our body, but what we are groaning for is to get our heavenly body. Amen. How many know you got a heavenly body? Yes. And it's coming, amen? Amen? And that body will not be subject to sin. No more temptation. No more sickness. No more pain. No more dragginess. No more curse. No more death. No more spiritual death. Your redemption will be complete. Amen. It'll be complete. That's what he's talking about. Right now, we're enjoying the blessing of the Lord in this life. Right now. But we haven't seen anything yet. Are you with me now? I mean, it's good now. You know, I like to say this, God gave us a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. Amen? And so, I don't know, maybe your life isn't that way. It could be, it can be, but my life is rich. Amen. And full and blessed and happy. Amen. I mean, I don't have any issues. I don't know anybody that lives that way, not even my unsaved neighbors. If they're all unsaved, maybe they're not, but but I just want to say to you, that I have a good life now, but yet, even at that, the fullness of my redemption and your redemption, we haven't received it yet, but we're going to. Now notice verse 5, because here's what I want to preach on this morning, okay? He says, "Now he that hath wrought for us," this is the King James, "he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God." In other words, God has worked it out where we're going to get the fullness of our redemption, "who also have given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Now that's the King James Version. It says the earnest of the Spirit. Some translations say guarantee. You could say deposit. But here's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the earnest of the Spirit and what this phrase means. Okay, what are we talking about here? How many ever bought a house? All right. When you buy a house, don't you have to put something down called earnest money? Now, what's earnest money? Earnest money means that you're serious about purchasing the house. That you put that whatever agreed upon amount is. Sometimes it could be a percentage of the asking price of the house. Sometimes it could be, an agreed upon amount. I think before I've done $1,000, maybe times $500, we've bought more than one home. And yeah, but one at a time, yeah. We do them one at a time. and we may not be done. I don't know. I'm kind of tired of it, so maybe we are done. I don't know. We'll see. But when you put that money down, see, what you're doing is you're saying, "Now I am serious. I will be back and I will complete this transaction." Right. Now, if you don't, you lose the money. Okay, they get to keep your money. Well, God gave us the earnest of the Spirit as His guarantee, His deposit, that He's going to come back and finish what He started. Hallelujah. And you find that, see, let me just say this. You find this in different places in the New Testament where it talks about the earnest of the Spirit. You will find, and maybe you didn't understand what this term meant, you will find the term sealed. Sealed by the Spirit. Well, that just means there's been a seal put, there's been a guarantee, there's been a stamp put on there that God says, I'm not done here. And I'm guaranteeing I'm going to finish it. You know, do you remember when Peter, the early church, did not know that Gentiles could be saved. See, they paid about as much attention as sometimes we do. Do you ever know that Jesus said in the Great Commission, right before He left, He said to His disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They heard it with religious ears. Go ye, here's what they heard. Go ye into all the world and preach to every Jew. Because here we come 10 years or more after Jesus has been resurrected, and God had to knock Peter down on a housetop and give him a vision to get him to go to Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile. And when he got there, the first thing he said is, I'm not supposed to be here. So he did not have the revelation that the gospel was for everybody, right? And so when he gets there, he says, I'm not supposed to be here. But God showed me that I shouldn't call anything common that He's cleansed. And He began to preach the word to them. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost fell on them. Amen. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then Peter said, now listen to what he said. Listen to what he said, because this is very revealing. He said, can anybody forbid water? Seeing they've received the Holy Spirit the same as we have. Now, when he got done there, he had to go to Jerusalem and give a report of that. Because some of the brethren didn't like it, because he went into people that weren't Jews and ate with them and preached to them. And he began again telling them. He told them about the vision he had, about how the Lord showed him. You know that really what the Lord was showing him was the blood of Jesus has cleansed everything. Amen. And so he when he was before the disciples, the elders of the church, he said to them, he told them what happened. And he said, the Holy Spirit came on them as He did on us at the first. And then the Bible said they held their peace and said, then God's granted salvation to the Gentiles. Now, what convinced them? Well, see, they understood. If God gave them the earnest of the Spirit, then that's salvation. Hallelujah. Now we're going to be going after something. I'm not just giving you a little bit of history here, but we're going to be going after something here because God's give us a deposit in our hearts, and it's the guarantee He's coming back. He's going to complete the job. Amen. When General MacArthur was in the Philippines, when he was first in the Philippines, he was told to leave because the Japanese were invading the Philippines, and so President Roosevelt decided that it would be better off to make sure that General MacArthur stayed alive. We need him. We can't take the chance that he'd fall into the hands of the Japanese. And so he ordered him, a presidential order, ordered him to leave the Philippines and just give it up to the Japanese and during World War II. But one of the things MacArthur said when he got ready to leave, he told the people of the Philippines, he said, I shall return. And he did. He came back and he liberated that island. Well, when the Spirit of God, when we were born again, the Spirit of God had come to live inside of us. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but there's times I sense His presence. And every time I do that, every time I sense it, like this morning, like right now, when I sense His presence, I know it's God saying, I'm coming back. Amen. I'm going to complete your redemption. Hallelujah. But he left a deposit of the Spirit inside of us, amen, so that we would know, amen, He's coming back. He's going to complete it. Now, let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 6. Let me show you this. John 14. Because it's important that we understand, we know that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, but why is He doing that? Why is He living there? Why is He inside of us? Is He just there just to hitch a ride through life? What's He there for? Well, the Bible gives us some clues to this, some information about why. I tell you, He's put that deposit, that earnest of the Spirit inside of us. He's put Him in there, amen, as a deposit until we receive our full redemption, and He's there to help us. Amen. Amen. Now, John chapter 15, excuse me, I'm going all over the place here. John 14, let's go there. Verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another comforter. Or I like the New King James says He'll give you a helper. Because this word comforter means an advocate, an intercessor, you know, a standby, a strengthener. Amplified gives seven definitions for this word comforter. And so one of them, you know, one of the things is He's our helper. Hallelujah, because we're going to need help. I will pray the Father, He'll give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him. But you know Him. See, the disciples knew Him. Says, for He dwells with you. He's been with you. But I like this. And shall be in you. He's going to come and live inside of you. Not just be with you. He's going to be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That word comfortless is really orphans. You look it up in the Greek. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you without help. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So as soon as we get born again, the Holy Spirit moves inside of us and begins to help us. Yes. Now, what's He helping us do? Well, He's helping us live for God. Yes. He's helping us. He will help us to walk in the fullness of our redemption. Yes. Hallelujah. He will help us get us to the place where we get the fullness of our redemption. See, sometimes it's real easy to just get your focus on, you know, the here and now. But did you know this is just a short time span of your life, the shortest time span of your life. Yeah, right. Amen. Amen. As you get older, you know, you realize just how short it really is. This year I'll be 60 years old. I look and I think, what have I been doing for 60 years? As old you get. But God's not done with you. Come on. Abraham changed his name when he was 99. How many people change their name when they're 99? You should really do it before then. But God wasn't done with him, was he? Matter of fact, the Bible says at 99 or 100 years old, the Bible says that Abraham was as good as dead. His body was now dead. Yet, as we read through our Bible, you came across Genesis chapter 26, I think it is. It said at 125 years old, he got remarried. Now, how many 125-year-old people get remarried? Come on, are you with me now? How many? You see, what I'm saying is that we sometimes, though, we get our focus just on this little sliver of life and don't realize that we're just preparing for the what's to come. I mean, the best is yet to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I just want some. See, one of the things, and I said this years ago, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. This sometimes the church is too practical. Well, I want some practical preaching. Well, listen, sometimes we're too practical, and people don't get enough spiritual preaching. Amen. And so they don't understand that what's coming. Amen. They don't know what's coming. Amen. But Paul said that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 8. Are you with me now? Come on. Romans 8, let's go there. I want to just talk to you about this helper. What's he helping us do? Well, he's helping us to live victorious. Amen. He'll help us live life victorious. Romans chapter 8. Thank God for the earnest of the Spirit, that down payment. And think about this. If what we have right now is just the partial payment, what is the full payment going to be like? I think it's really good now. I'm telling you. I've lived on both sides, all right? So, you know, young people don't, you know, they get off into drugs and stuff. You don't have anything on us. We wrote the book on it. Come on. Someone said, yeah, I remember who originally said this. I've heard more than one person say it, but they said, if you remember the 60s, you weren't really there. You know, you come through the 60s and the 70s and, you know, the drug and rock and roll culture and all that. Well, you know, I live that lifestyle. Okay, I understand that. You know what? I found out, praise God, this is a lot better. Hallelujah. If I had it to do over again, I'd just skip all that. Amen. And get saved at 2 years old. Amen. Hallelujah. Then sing songs about how God's forgiven my past. Hallelujah. Now, Romans 8, look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So if you've been born again, you're no longer in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. Now, Paul tells us that we're to walk in the Spirit now. Now that we're in the Spirit, we've been put in there by virtue of the new birth. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, the Spirit's life because of righteousness. In other words, you can't let your body be the leader because it's to be dead. It's to be reckoned dead because of sin. Because if you let your body lead you, there's still a sin nature in your flesh. You've been born again and given power over that, but that's still there. Are you with me now? See, if it wasn't there, temptation wouldn't even work on you. Not illicit temptation. There can be two different types of temptation. Jesus was tempted to do things that were legitimate, you know, in an illegitimate way. You and I, listen, there's different types. The devil will try to do you to get you to do wrong, but then you try to fulfill legitimate desires in an illegitimate way. We're all old enough to handle this. Sex is a legitimate desire. But the devil tries to get you to fulfill it in illegitimate ways. God's word told us how to fulfill it. Get married to someone of the opposite sex. Come on. I mean, that's what the word says. The word doesn't give us any permission to do anything else. But the devil will tempt you, right? Come on. So he'll try to get you to fulfill. You know, eating is a good desire. It's one of my favorite ones. Hallelujah. But how many know you can fulfill it in wrong ways? You know, like knock off a bread store and steal bread. You know how that's wrong? Amen. Well, I was hungry. Well, do something else. Don't rob a store. See what I'm saying? So you can't let the body lead you because it's to be dead. As far as its authority in your life, it's to be dead. Amen. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Isn't that wonderful? What's that saying? It's saying even though your body's dead, if you allow, the Spirit of God will give life to that body and energize that body to do what's right. Hallelujah. How many know that is the truth? When the Holy Spirit came to live inside of me, some things just fell off of me. They just fell off. Why? Because all of a sudden I got some energy, some divine energy, because the Spirit of God's living inside of me. I didn't cut it down from, you know, from 3 or 4 joints a day to 1. I got some energy. It left me. Come on, are you with me now? You know, I didn't say, well, you know, I mean, I used to drink a lot of Pabst, but now I've cut it down. I'm going to have like 2 a day. Why is it so quiet in this church? I thought we all had this handle on this. I didn't do that because, why? I got some divine energy. See, on and on, we can talk about different things. Well, something came inside of me, or should I say someone came inside of me. I got something called the earnest of the Spirit, the deposit of the Spirit. And God said, I'm going to give you something to help you until your fullness of your redemption comes. In other words, look, you know, he gave, I hope you understand why I'm saying this. He gave us the Holy Spirit and said, this ought to hold you over till I come back. Hallelujah. So far it's worked. Hallelujah. So he says this. He says, verse 12, therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. Why, the flesh hadn't done anything for us but get us in trouble. But for if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. How do you put to death the deeds of the body? Through the Spirit. Through that earnest of the Spirit given to you. Now here's a verse that we like to quote, and we quote it and we use it only on one way sometimes. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now let me stop there just for a minute. See, sometimes we use that verse. There's nothing wrong with this because it applies there. We say, well, the Lord led me to go down here and do this, and the Lord led me to buy this, and the Lord led me to do this. Well, that's all true. But right here in this context, he's talking about being led by the Spirit to put to death the deeds of the body. Did you know the Holy Ghost will help get you out of trouble? You ever have the Lord like inside of you feel like, don't go there, don't look there, don't do this, don't do that. That's the Holy Spirit trying to help you. Amen. Now notice verse 15. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities or our weaknesses. And he's talking about the weaknesses of the flesh. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So the Holy Ghost has come to help us to live this life successfully. Hallelujah. He's our helper. Go to John chapter 7. Come on, we're hurrying through this, but let's get something out of it. Amen. John chapter 7. Just talking about why God gave us this deposit, this earnest of the Spirit, so we could live victorious. Amen. Well, I don't know that the Holy Ghost helps me. Well, it's because you don't know. You know, you need to, your eyes opened up to that. John chapter 7, let's go there. Verse 37, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now notice verse 39, he said, but this spake he of the Spirit. So what he said before, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Drink what? Of the Spirit. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So what's the living water going to flow out of you? It's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Come on, are you with me this morning? See, that's what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit. For, now notice this, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they which believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now notice, he's talking about there's coming a day when Jesus is glorified that he's going to give the Spirit to you. And he will flow out of you like rivers of living water. So he's going to be inside of you. Amen? He's going to be in you. Now, but here's the thing. See, he's talking about the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. But I want you to notice what he said. He said, you have to come unto him and drink. And you have to be thirsty. In other words, even though you have a deposit of the Spirit inside of you, his ability to work in your life will depend on whether you're going to drink or not. What do we mean by drink? Well, how many know, there's a lot of things we could talk about, but one thing, when you drink, what you got to do? You got to open your mouth. Because you know, one of the ways the Bible says that we're filled with the Spirit is by speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. In other words, have a joyful attitude of praise about you. Hallelujah. How many could use that message maybe a little bit more? Hey, come on. I can tell by looking at some of you, you needed this morning, all right? You need it right now. And how many understand that It also can refer to yielding to the Spirit of God. Right? Opening your heart to Him. You know, have you ever been, you know, where there's people that are unbelievers that are present in the service? And I've seen this over and over. And at the end of the service, you give an altar call, and, you know, the Spirit of God's moving, and you will see something come over them. Sometimes we don't have pews here, but, you know, in the old days with the pews, you'd see them grab the back of the pew like that. Just grab it. And what was happening? The Holy Spirit was trying to work in their life, and they were resisting. Absolutely. I have seen people come up to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you can just see they'll begin to quiver. Their lips will even begin to quiver, but they won't yield. I prayed for a woman one time. I'll never forget this. Bless her heart. I prayed for her, and she was of the old-time Pentecost, you know, and they just believed that a lot of things they believed were good, so this isn't an insult, but sometimes they just believe, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, God will just, he'll just make you speak in tongues, you know, and not realizing you have to yield by faith. And so you would meet them and say, you know, I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 38 years. Well, I know something is wrong. If you've been trying to get to Indianapolis for 38 years and you're not there yet, when are you going to wake up? All right, something is you're doing. Not something, and she was kind of one of them. I don't know how long she'd been seeking, but that mindset. And she came up to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, this has not been maybe 10 years ago or less. I prayed for this woman I was at another church on Sunday morning. And she got in the line, and I said, because I tried to get them to say something in faith, you know, get some faith in them. I said, pray this with me. Okay. And this is something like what I prayed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. I believe that when hands are laid on me, I'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives me utterance. Okay, I laid my hands on her. You know what? She began speaking in tongues. But you know what else she did? She started shaking her head. No. What was she? No, it can't happen this easy. No. You got to tarry, brother. You got to see a glory ball. You got to have some kind of out-of-body experience. No. And she's speaking in tongues. But she's shaking her head like, no, this can't be. No. Now, from my experience, I know what happened. She went home, and that's the last she ever spoke in tongues. Unless she got over that in her mind. Why? Well, she wasn't yielding to the Spirit of God. Come on. Are you alive today, or is this really bad? This must be really bad preaching today. I'm sorry. We'll try to do better next Sunday. But, you know, I remember when I first got saved, you know, I would see, because I got saved in a Pentecost church. So, you know, it used to be called Gleason Pentecostal Revival Center. And then something happened to the sign, and they just put up a new sign that said Gleason Revival Center and left the Pentecost off, but they were still inside. They might not have been on the sign, but they were still in the building. And so I remember when I first got saved, they were in that old metal building, you know. And I would watch Brother Eddie pray for people and stuff. And sometimes they get what we call it slain in the spirit, or if they fall under the power. There's a lot of people have an issue with that. Christians do. Sinners really do. But when it ever happens to you, you'll shut your mouth about it. Because you'll know something supernatural happened. You'll know there's a bigger force on this earth than you. But I remember I would see that, and I would think to myself, I'm just a babe in the Lord, so God overlooks a lot of our ignorance when we're babies, you know. I would think to myself, now look, if I ever go up there and get prayer, I'm not going to do that. Well, it wasn't like these people were just doing that either. But see, what I was saying is I'm not going to yield to the Spirit of God. I'm going to resist Him. You know, you can resist Him. The Bible says that you can quench Him. And so, first time it happened to me, it really happened. I can't remember exactly what was going on, but Brother Eddie prayed for me. And the next thing I knew, I was doing what I wasn't going to do. I was laying on my backside on the floor. Now, it doesn't matter to me whether you believe this. I know you do, but you know, a lot of times people hear this on podcasts and think, well, this guy, yeah, I don't believe that. So, well, it didn't happen to you, it happened to me, so just shut up about it. You don't know what you're talking about. When I got on that floor, I something supernatural happened to me. My eyes were closed, but I could just, it was just like I was engulfed in light. There was just power all over me. And I could hear, now listen, I could hear people talking, but it was like they were way off somewhere. Yeah. It's like it's almost like they were coming, their voices were coming through a tunnel somewhere. Like they were way off. I could still hear them. I heard Brother Eddie say this. I heard him say this. He was talking to one of his elders, one of his deacons, and he said to him, he said, we don't have to look for an associate pastor any longer. Well, that's the first I knew they were looking for one. I didn't know. Well, they were, but they had, you know, I hadn't been going there long. I didn't know. I didn't know what the church was growing. They were building a new building, and they were going to put an associate pastor on to help carry the load. Well, I didn't know that. I'm only like about 2 or 3 weeks old in the Lord. I'm just a baby. And so I heard him say to his elder, he said, we don't have to look for an associate pastor any longer. That's him on the floor. Well, I just found out I'm the associate pastor of the church laying there. Thank God I yielded being slain in the spirit. Amen. Amen. I got up off that floor and said, where's my office, boys? How much does this job pay? What's the benefit? Where's my car? No, how many know I didn't do that, right? And how many know I didn't get off that floor and they made me their associate pastor? I'm only 2 or 3 weeks older than the Lord. They got more sense than that. But what the Lord showed him, he said, this is the man I sent to you right here. Okay, this is him. Grow him up. Burp him. Watch him. And preach him some. And so, you know, about a year later, I was their associate pastor. Now, but what I'm saying to you, see, I was resistant to that. But see, you can resist the Holy Spirit, but then he won't be able to do what he wants to do. Are you with me now? You say, well, you know, I don't know, during praise and worship this morning, I felt a little bit about something about dancing. Well, why didn't you do it? Because you quenched the Spirit. You resisted him. Amen? So if we're going to receive from the earnest of the Spirit, we got to open ourselves up. We got to be open. We got to yield. We got to respond. Amen. See, just to prove you, God's not going to do things if you don't respond. You might as well just get a hold of that. You know, if you think he's going to mow over you, you got another thing coming. You go back to the Old Testament, you know, in the book of Samuel, when the Lord called Samuel. Remember Samuel the prophet in the Old Testament? The Lord called him and he said, you know, he was laying down at the nighttime, and the Lord was going to take Samuel, and he was going to make him a judge in Israel, a prophet. And so he called him, and he said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel thought it was Eli. And he went to Eli and said, what do you want? Eli said, I didn't call for you. Go back to bed. And so the Lord called again, Samuel, Samuel. Well, Samuel gets up and goes to Eli and said, what do you want? You did call me. And he's like, get back to bed, you brat. Well, who brought this kid here anyway? And so he goes back and lays down. The Lord, the third time, stands there at the end of his bed and goes, Samuel, Samuel. He thinks it's Eli. He gets up and he goes to Eli again. And Eli, the Bible said, then he perceived it was the Lord. He said, here's what you got to do. If he calls again, you got to say, speak, Lord. Your servant hears. In other words, you got to respond if you're going to go any further. Amen. You got to say something back. You got to respond to what he's saying to you. If you don't do that, you won't go any further. So the next time he went and laid down, and the Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Amen. And he began to talk to him. What happened? You have to respond to the Lord. Amen. See, if you don't respond, like any time, if the Lord quickens you or he leads you or you feel something and you don't respond to that, then that's as far as you can go. Amen. And sometimes he may come back and deal with you again, but you don't want to risk that. He might not. Come on. He might just move on. See, God, you know, a minister that I knew of years ago, he's in heaven now, but he was needing an airplane, you know, needing an airplane because his ministry was growing so much and he was going so many places. You see, the world doesn't understand this. Don't fall for all these Christian blabbermouths. And can you say that in love? I don't know. And know-it-alls and these people in the world, the reporters that are always attacking any preacher that has an airplane because they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Because all these preachers could never do what they do flying commercial. How many ever flown commercial? How would you like to do that every day of your life and be on time? I don't think so. They can't even go to all the places. Now, if you have your own plane, you can go to thousands more airports that they can't go to. And so his ministry was like that, and he's flying commercial. And he asked his secretary, because she kept his records and his itinerary. He said, "How many days did I spend in the airport this year?" She said, 150. I don't think that's redeeming the time. When you're hanging out in an airport for 150 days out of 300 some days in a year. So he decided, the Lord led him, you know, you need your own plane so you can fly wherever you need to fly and go wherever you need to go when you need to go. Are you with me now? See, and so anyway, he began to believe and, you know, it just wasn't happening. And so finally he went to the Lord about it, like, "Lord, I've been believing and it's just not happening." And the Lord said, "Look," this is what the Lord told him. He said, "I've already spoken to 100 people to help you, and they've not obeyed me." He said, "But I'll get it to you." And God did. But 100 people. He said, "I've already spoken to 100 people. 100 people. Well, what did those 100 people miss? They missed a blessing. Come on. Are you with me now? You know, so you know, I'm not saying this because I'm getting an airplane. I'm just saying you got to renew your mind and not think like the world thinks. Why is it all right for, you know, guys that push Playboy and drugs to have airplanes and preachers aren't supposed to? Now, if they don't need it, they don't need it. Dr. Barker went to preach for a pastor. He said, "I'm going to show you my airplane." So pastor said, "Okay, let's go out there to the airport. Let's see it." So he sees a nice airplane. Pastor said, Dr. Burke said, "How much do you use this?" He said, "Twice a year." Dr. Burke said, "I'm ashamed of you." Yeah. He said, "Why?" He said, "You got this airplane, use it twice a year." He said, "Give it away to somebody that needs it." Yeah. See what I'm saying? You know, Dr. Barclay was driving to church to preach one Sunday morning, and he got halfway to the church, and the Lord said, "I don't want you to go to church this morning." Now, God's not telling you that. He said, "I don't want you to go to church this morning." He said, he gave him a name of a pastor in a certain city. He said, "He's getting ready to resign. I want you to go encourage him and stop that." "Well, that better be God. You're going to waste a lot of money." So he said, "Well, Lord, I don't even have anybody prepared to preach this morning but me." And then you wake up and think, "Well, that's dumb. I mean, God probably knows that, right?" And so he called these pilots and he said, "Hey, go get the plane ready. We got to go to a certain city." And so he said, "You know," he said, I called this pastor. I got his number. I found out his number. I called him. He was in his church office that morning. And Dr. Barclay said, "I'm coming to your city." He said, "I want to have lunch with you today. Now meet me at the airport." He said, "Yeah, right." "Right. You know, how do you know me?" He said, "Well, the Lord told me about you, you know," and he knew of him. He said, so he said I flew to the airport, got the airport, and nobody's there to pick me up. So I called the pastor and said, "Hey, where are you at?" He said, "Is this really Mark T. Barclay?" "Yes." "You're really in my city?" "Yes, come and get me." He said, we went to lunch. He said, "Now let's go to lunch." He said, "I want to take you to the nicest restaurant in town. Let's go there." And so he said, we went to this really nice restaurant, dignified, went to it. He said, you know, and so we sat down to lunch, and Dr. Barclay said, the Lord sent me here because he told me you're getting ready to resign your church. You're discouraged. And the Lord sent me to stop you from doing that. He said, Dr. Barclay, he pulls this out. He said, this is my resignation letter. He said, I was going to give it this morning, but something inside me said, no, wait and do it to tonight's service. Dr. Barclay said, you're not going to quit. I'm going to pray over you. God's going to put strength in you, and you're going to go back and you're going to pastor that church and you're going to finish your calling. He said, now I'm going to pray for you. Well, Dr. Barclay said, I didn't expect him to do this, but he knelt down right there in that restaurant, right in front of everybody, all that crowd. So he said, I just anointed him with oil, laid hands on him and prayed for him, for God to, you know, put strength into him, that he wasn't going to quit. And he said, now you belong in this city and you're going to stay in this city, Pastor. He said, when I got done, he said, people started clapping. He said, people started coming up to this pastor and said, Pastor, don't leave our city. Our city needs you. Don't leave our city. Today he has the biggest church in the city. Amen. Couldn't have drove there and done that. I mean, it's worth it if you can save somebody. Amen. So back to our message. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We'll close right here. Did you get something today? Yes. Now I'll tell you what. Let's go. well, let's go. Let me go to 2 Corinthians. I'll see if I want to read that. If I don't, we'll go somewhere else. I'll tell you what. Let's just go to Matthew. Skip 2 Corinthians. We're running out of time here. But 2 Corinthians talks about us not being unclean because the Spirit of God's inside of us. So, you know, if we're going to flow with everything the Holy Spirit has, we have to associate with the right people, places, and things. See? You know, we don't want to grieve Him. Amen? You know, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. I mean, no, the Bible says that. What does that mean? Well, if He's grieved, you cut off the power supply. But let's go here to Matthew chapter 27. Did you get something today? All right, verse 50. And then verse 51, Matthew 27, verse 50, it says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now notice that phrase, the veil of the temple was rent in two. Now notice it said from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top. Why is that important? Well, that means man didn't do it. It came from the top down. It was rent too. Now why was it rent? Well, you could look at a lot of different things, but one of the things that I believe the Bible is saying, and one of the things I believe that meant, was that his presence was no longer in that Holy of Holies. It was coming to live inside of his people. See, man was meant to live in the presence of God. In Genesis, the Bible says when Adam and Eve sinned that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They were used to being in His presence. When Cain was driven out because of his sin, it says he left the presence of God, see. So God wants His presence strong in our life. That's why we have the deposit or the earnest of the Spirit. Now, how do we know? You know, there's ways that we can tell where the Spirit of God is operating strongly in our life. There's really two ways. I feel goosebumps. No, that's not one of the ways. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Everybody say the fruit of the Spirit. So if the Spirit of God is allowed to operate in our lives like He wants to, there's going to be something called fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. We're going to have a good disposition about us. If we're hard to get along with, we're sour, we're bitter all the time, and then we're not filled with the Spirit. I didn't say we didn't have that deposit in there, but He's not being able to move like He wants to move. Amen. So you have to have the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of the Holy Ghost actually operating in our life. It takes a lot more restraint to be nice than it does to be mean. Amen. But one of the things that shows it, that the Holy Ghost is actually living inside of us, and we're yielding to Him, is we yield to that fruit. Now, that doesn't mean you don't, you still got your flesh, haven't you? Know that. I'm not telling you that you're going to get rid of those feelings altogether. It's not a matter of feelings. It's a matter of what you yield to. Are you with me now? You know, someone in this church made me so mad one day. Y'all looking around, was it me? If it was you, you'd known about it. Because I confronted them. But they did something, and they just did it in front of my face just to make me mad. And it worked. I said, I'll see you in my office in just a few minutes. And then I went and got my wife. Everybody say, thank God,
thank God.
For a spiritual woman. She saw the Tabasco sauce had risen to the top. Every taco I had eaten had come alive. And I really felt like letting this person just have it over what they did. Because what they did, listen, it wasn't against me. I wouldn't have got that angry if it had been against me. It was what they were going to do to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all follow me? If it just been a personal attack on me, I can handle that. This was against people in the church. Okay. And I thought, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to do this right now. So I went and got her. We were walking back to my office, and she said, remember, you're the leader. You just need to cool off. I didn't want to hear that. When I got in that office, you know what I did? No, you don't. I'm going to tell you. I yielded to the fruit of the Spirit. I still confronted them. But I didn't do it in a mean spirit. I didn't do it in anger. I just said, what you said was wrong. You should never say those things to people. And because I handled it with the fruit of the Spirit, they said, I know, I shouldn't have done that. And they repented. And they stuck around. But it's about to be their last day at our church and possibly on earth. And I want to just say that to you. I'm saying that to you because of this. I want you to know, just because you have the Holy Spirit in you doesn't mean you still don't have flesh to deal with. But it's a matter of what you yield to. Because my wife spoke some sense to me, I chose to yield to the Spirit of God. I chose to yield to the fruit of the Spirit. Still dealt with the issue, but I did it by the way that the Lord would do it Himself. Amen. So number one, everybody say the fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit.
Number two, in closing this out, listen, the Bible talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit. We have the phrase the fruit of the Spirit. We have the phrase the manifestation of the Spirit. What's the manifestation of the Spirit? Well, the gifts of the Spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you know, discerning spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, gifts of healings, working miracles, and faith. So those gifts, when we start yielding to the Spirit of God, they'll start to work in our life. Amen. Now, let me say this to you as we close out. Come on, are y'all with me now? Give me just a few more minutes here. I'm not just talking about them gifts, the gifts, them gifts, the gifts working at church. I'm talking about in everyday life. We're not at church all the time, right? Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit in church, but we're talking about everyday life. Amen? We can expect everyday life, those gifts to begin to work. Why? Because we're yielding to the Spirit. I don't know about you. I need to yield more to the Spirit. Amen. I want more of the fruit, more of the gifts. Amen. You know, God's changed my character a lot, but He's not done working on me. I've been used in the gifts of the Spirit a whole lot over the years, many, many times. Probably just about almost every one of them. Maybe not everyone, but almost every one of them. But He's not done. Amen. Amen. We can't get comfortable. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.